Hey, everybody. Today on the Ask Me Anything episode, which, of course, is brought to you by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support, I go through all 30, that's right, all 30 of Joe Biden's executive actions and executive orders. If you guys have not been watching the news, tuned out completely, and you're like, what's been happening? How bad is it? Give me the damage report. I go through it piece by piece, language by language, the good, the badly, the insane, and the awful. We go through it all. Joe Biden's 30 executive actions and orders, the transgender debate, where do we get information from, and what kind of immigration policy should we actually have for our country? All of that is addressed and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
The Chinese coronavirus has changed the way a lot of businesses operate. We spend more time on video calls, email, and in-chat discussions. Unfortunately, many of these conversations aren't as safe or as private as we think they are. Interference from foreign governments, hackers, and third-party advertisers mean that our private beliefs, ideas, and intellectual property are being shared, spied, and stored. Luckily, I found SquadPod, the only 100% American-owned and operated private team communication platform today. SquadPod protects your privacy, intellectual property, and right to free speech. It's simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their video, organized discussions, or chat features. SquadPod doesn't monitor or censor any of your conversations. They don't create customer profiles or mine or sell any of your information with anyone. To learn more about how SquadPod can work for you like it does for me, visit squadpod.com/Charlie. That's squadpod.com/Charlie. They're a great product, great team. Check it out, squadpod.com/Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to this episode of Ask Me Anything. I'm taking your questions that you have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. If I answer your question, you get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, because you've also asked the question, and show us you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. As I am doing this episode, we are the fourth podcast in Apple News Podcasts, and we are eighth overall. Thank you guys for subscribing to The Charlie Kirk Show. And if you can get one friend to also subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show, just send him a link to this and say, hey, hit that subscribe button, listen to this. That would really bless us. Thank you guys so much. So here's the first question. Joe Biden has thus governed in accordance with what seems like unitary executive theory, which I thought Democrats were opposed to, with his 30-plus executive orders in the first 3 days of the White House. Now, let me just stop here in the question. That is sort of true. Unitary executive theory mostly applies to a working theory around the vice president of the United States. However, I understand the essence of the question. Can you help me make sense of what these executive orders do and what they're aiming to accomplish? Are there any particularly egregious ones that you can think of? So yes, let's go through all 30 executive orders that Joe Biden has done. Now remember, this was a way that they tried to attack Donald Trump, and Joe Biden is now predictably using executive action to try and undo the successes of the Trump presidency. Let's work backwards. On January 22nd, President Joe Biden, put forward a executive order restoring collective bargaining power and worker protections for federal workers and lays the foundation for a $15 minimum wage. Now, I'm not planning to make this podcast about the minimum wage, about how it raises prices, about how it disenfranchises low-income workers. But as quickly as I possibly can describe it, a sudden and dramatic raise in the federal minimum wage is disastrous to middle-income workers and low-income workers. Prices will go up, and people without a certain skill set will be forced out of the labor pool. Now, there's been some phenomenal scholarship done on this by Thomas Sowell and Milton Friedman and many others. It sounds good to want to raise the minimum wage, but every single city that has done it, such as Portland and Seattle and New York, has seen a rapid increase in prices, such as AOC famously complaining about a $17 sandwich at LaGuardia Airport, or Portland and Seattle that saw double-digit decreases in waiters and waitresses and middle-class work all across major metropolitan areas. And so the $15 minimum wage that Joe Biden has now signed in the executive order, it doesn't put it necessarily into place, but it sets the foundation, lays the foundation for a $15 minimum wage. Now, collective bargaining is basically a handout to unions, not union members, but union leaders. So that is what this executive order is focused on. The second executive order, number 2 of 30, is around the economy, which calls for assistance to those who are struggling to buy food, missed out on stimulus checks, or are unemployed. Really no specifics there. Not a reversal, just kind of seems more like an executive declaration. So not a lot there to really focus on. The third executive order on January the 21st by President Biden was signed in and said it accelerated the manufacturing and delivery of supplies for vaccination testing and personal protective equipment. Well, something that President Trump had already put into effect was Operation Warp Speed. It was working wonderfully. Real results were being delivered to the American people. Over a million people, if they so choose and they believed it would work for them, were getting the vaccination every single day. Joe Biden got rid of Operation Warp Speed and signs a redundant executive order, acting as if the administration before him was doing nothing. The next executive action was written towards FEMA, directing to expand reimbursements to states, cover the cost of National Guard's personnel and emergency supplies. Nothing really that controversial there. To be honest with you, that's a pretty normal executive order. I could see President Trump signing something similar to that. The next executive order was establishing the Pandemic Testing Board to expand United States coronavirus testing capacity. Again, not wildly controversial, but somewhat redundant. President Trump had already really mastered this and perfected this. And it seems as if President Biden is trying to go out of the way to not give any form of credit, as if he's starting from a zero-based position and that Donald Trump left the country in complete and total ruin when it came to preparation, testing, vaccination, or supplies with the Chinese coronavirus. He very well could have kept President Trump's operation into tact. And wouldn't that have been one way for President Biden to unify the country? If President Biden, in his transition, would have said, you know what? President Trump and his administration, regardless of politics, did step up and do a pretty amazing job when it came to the Chinese coronavirus. I'm going to keep that in place. Instead, he's decided to disassemble it and rebuild it in his own image. And here's a prediction right now. There's going to be a lot of problems when it comes to delivering, because it's not so easy just to all of a sudden tear down the operation and the infrastructure of your predecessor and act as if you're going to be able to deliver all these vaccines and personal protection equipment. You remember the difficulties that President Trump had early on in the Chinese coronavirus pandemic to just get all this infrastructure in place. Now, maybe some of this is just building off of it, but the appearance of all these executive orders is as if that President Biden is working from a complete and total position of disadvantage.
In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. At thinker.org, T-H-I-N-K-R.org, they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. When I'm just driving to work or driving to the Charlie Kirk Show every single morning, sometimes I pop open a Thinker summary book and it really opens my mind, expands my horizons, and I learn something new every day. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org. That's T-H-I-N-K-R.org to start a free trial. Again, that's thinker.org.
The next executive order, I'm reading from CNN.com that actually, interestingly, had the best chart when it came to this, establishes a preclinical program to boost the development of therapeutics in response to pandemic threats. Not really that controversial. Again, something that President Trump already did. This kind of seems more checking a box there. I'm not going to really attack President Biden for that one. Next one, enhancing the nation's collection, production, and sharing and analysis of coronavirus data. Again, I believe this was already happening under President Trump. All of these different agencies were already working together. I would love to have a reporter go through this list and say, President Biden, why are you re-signing executive orders that President Trump had already signed? Or are you just signing them so that you get credit for things that are already in motion? Love to get some explanation there. Next executive order on January the 21st, signed by President Biden, it directs FEMA to create federally supported community vaccination centers. Pretty sure those already existed in many areas across the country. It seems just increasingly redundant. Next executive action directs the Department of Education and Health and Human Services. Oh, I love this one. To provide guidance for safely reopening and operating schools, childcare providers, and institutions of higher education. So, of course, now that Biden is president and Trump is gone, we can open the schools. And guess what? Chicago restaurants are reopening. Restaurants are reopening in Los Angeles and New York City. President Biden even said in his own remarks that there's nothing we can do to flatten the curve of the virus. This is going to be a status quo for quite some time. Play tape. Now, if only Joe Biden was that honest when he was running against Donald Trump, when he said, I have a plan, man. Come on. I have a plan. I'm going to turn this thing around. We're going to trust the scientists. We're going to trust the science. Well, now that Joe Biden's in charge, he realizes that maybe Donald Trump was doing a pretty spectacular job when it came to delivering personal protection equipment, trying to put forward measures to allow people's individual and freedom not to be eroded, to reopen the country. And the way the media is covering this is quite honestly reprehensible and it's disgusting. It really is. They're acting as if everything Donald Trump did in regards to the Chinese coronavirus was non-existent or a total mistake. It is so incredibly dishonest. Next executive action signed on January 21st calls on the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to release clear guidance on the Chinese coronavirus, decide whether to establish emergency temporary standards, and directs OSHA to enforce worker health and safety requirements. There's really nothing in that executive action. It's pretty much just, hey, everyone, do your job. It's basically that executive action. I'm not kidding. There's really nothing there. Okay, next one. Requiring mask wearing in airports and on certain modes of transportation, including many trains, airplanes, maritime vessels, and inner-city buses. International travelers must provide proof of a negative Chinese coronavirus test prior to coming to the United States. Hold on. I thought it's racist to try to ask people to have requirements for coming into the country. What about that poor person coming in from Honduras that might be coming in from a flight, or maybe the poor person from Guatemala City flying into Houston that can't afford a Chinese coronavirus test, Joe Biden? Are you trying to tell me that we should be screening people before they come into our country? And insofar as wearing masks everywhere, masks are already mandated everywhere. So this is Joe Biden just trying to check a box and try to keep his base happy. Next executive action, January 21st, creates the COVID Health Equity Task Force to help ensure an equitable pandemic response and recovery. Basically, this task force is going to try to convince the country the virus is actually the KKK virus. The virus infects black people more than white people, that we need to redistribute income and wealth because certain people, according to public reports, have gotten the Chinese coronavirus at higher rates than white individuals if they're black. This is not correct at all. And we've debunked this many times on this program. The virus is colorblind. People of all colors get it equally. Any insinuation, anything different, is racist. We refuse to do that. But that's exactly what this commission task force is going to seek out and try and do. I can't wait to read that report. Next executive order, a presidential directive to restore America's leadership, support the international pandemic response effort, and promote resilience for future threats and advance global health security and the global health security agenda. Now, this is a great example of what Eric Weinstein calls the idealism of the time is the cover of the theft. This idealism of American leadership sounds really good. I've said it before, but I mean it completely differently than Joe Biden. You know the way he means American leadership? He means American surrender to international trade organizations and treaties and allowing American sovereignty to be destroyed. I'm going to read this executive action again to you, and can you try and tell me exactly what this is? By the way, there's an executive action versus an executive order. They're technically different. An executive order is a lot more serious. An executive action is basically telling your department what to do and signing a piece of paper. That's basically what it is. But let me say this again. A presidential directive to restore America's leadership, support the international pandemic response effort, promote resilience for future threats. What the heck does that mean? Promote resilience? Advance global health security and global health security agenda. It's a bunch of gibberish. The next executive action that was signed on January the 20th launches a 100-day masking challenge, asking Americans to wear masks for 100 days, requiring masks and physical distancing in federal buildings and on federal lands and by government contractors, and urging state and local governments to do the same. Again, every state and local government building that I have ever been in recently doesn't just require masks. They require a certain type of masks. They won't require kind of the bandana mask. It has to be like an N95 mask. And if you even dare lower it slightly, they will come after you unbelievably aggressively. So again, it kind of feels redundant. And by the way, the reason all these executive orders were signed so quickly is that Joe Biden is trying to create a narrative that things were absolutely terrible and were falling apart. And he signed all these executive actions, and the inevitable decline in cases and deaths that's going to happen in April and May because of vaccinations and herd immunity, Joe Biden wants full credit for it because he'll be able to say, don't you know? On January 20th, I signed this 100-day masking challenge, as if he's asking you to go 100 days without drinking soda pop, or in his terms, corn pop. I don't know. The point is that this has already been happening. It's symbolic at best. Okay, the next executive action stops the United States withdrawal from the World Health Organization. My goodness, just give a handout to China. With Dr. Anthony Fauci becoming the head of the delegation to the WHO. We have gone after Dr. Anthony Fauci as being a clueless fool many times here on the program. In fact, let's play some tape here of Dr. Anthony Fauci of just a refresher to go and show how he has lied to you and deceived. Now, mind you, maybe that's why he's so revered on the left. He's willing to lie for the greater good. Play tape of Anthony Fauci saying, I don't think this virus is going to infect anybody. Well, fine. What are you talking about? Play tape of him in January.
Dr. Fauci, coronavirus, of course, has been in the news so much. People are worried. Should they be worried? Are they worried unnecessarily? And what should they be doing?
No, I don't think people should be frightened. I mean, the risk right now, today, currently, is really relatively low for the American public.
And now play tape of him saying, masks, come on, do you have to wear masks? Play tape.
Right now, people should not be worried. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Bingo. The point is that Fauci has lied about basically everything. Masks, social distancing, virus, death rates, hospitalizations, opening, schools, vaccination rates, you name it, Dr. Anthony Fauci is a liar. And he should not be allowed anywhere near our American institutions. But he's very helpful to the left because he has great credibility. And somebody wrote this in an article kind of snarkily, and I thought it was really funny, is that Anthony Fauci embodies the principle of failing upward in Washington, D.C. better than any other person. This guy has never succeeded at anything, but he's just kind of been around, and therefore he keeps getting promoted, and he does what he's told, and he's willing to tell the big lie. And the big lie that Dr. Anthony Fauci was willing to tell in the last year is that we must fundamentally destroy and recalibrate our civilization no matter what, because Donald Trump is awful and he won't listen to me. That was the big lie. And Dr. Anthony Fauci was willing to tell that lie with a long biography of failing upwards. So he's been very useful, and Joe Biden has rewarded him for it. Next executive action. Joe Biden has created the position of COVID-19 response coordinator, reporting directly to Biden and managing efforts to produce and distribute vaccines and medical equipment. Again, really? We already had this. We had whole coalitions, committees, completely and totally redundant, doing nothing more than checking a box and trying to get a nice article in the New York Times that Joe Biden can read on Sunday morning. Next executive action, extending the existing nationwide moratorium on evictions and foreclosures until at least March 31st. Now, this one's really interesting. I'm not going to say I'm for it or against it. I'm principally against it. I'm pragmatically understand it. But I am saying this. This is only delaying the inevitable. The economy is not as bad as it was, thanks to President Donald Trump. Not even close. And we are going to have a massive real estate eviction crisis over the summer, because you're going to have a year of deferred evictions and bankruptcies, market interruptions of people that, quite honestly, they should have been evicted because they were just not doing what they should have been doing regardless of the lockdowns. And so what does that mean? That means property values are going to get majorly disrupted in a lot of these major markets. Renters and landlords are going to have a hard time making do. So, for example, you're not allowed to evict people even if they're not paying their rent right now. And so you might say, oh, boo-hoo, so what? He's a landlord. He's got lots of money. Okay, what about a guy who just inherited a home, a single-family home from his parents? And he said, you know, instead of selling it, I'm going to try and rent it. And he rents it for $1,800 a month. And all of a sudden, some occupant has decided to stop paying the rent last May. Legally, he cannot evict that person. So that guy that now owns the home has to pay property tax on that home. He has to pay heating and cooling and electricity. He has to keep the home up. He cannot get a police judge order to get that person out of the home until March 31st at least because of this moratorium. And I understand that people need a little bit of mercy and grace right now because the economy's in lockdown. I understand that. However, to get to the point of eviction is more than just missing your rent once. To get to the point of eviction is you have to get to the point of delinquency. You have to miss your rent in certain times for 3 to 4 months straight before someone can get an eviction order. Next point, signed in by President Biden, extends the existing pause on student loan payments and interest for Americans with federal student loans until at least September 30th. This is his gift to his voter base of college students, basically saying you don't have to pay any of your student loans for another 9 months. Most student loans are held by the federal government. 99% of all student loans are actually administered and distributed by the federal government. And so this is just one way where Joe Biden can get involved in kind of the student loan conversation while trying to give something tangible to his voter base. Next executive order signed, this was a reversal of President Trump rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, a process that will take 30 days. Next week, we're going to do a comprehensive take of the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accord and what it actually means. But put simply this, Paris Climate Accord puts international sanctions, rules, restrictions, and measures onto our country and our capacity to develop oil and natural gas, drive certain vehicles, and have energy emission standards on our own domestic energy consumption. Now, mind you, no other country is actually going to follow the Paris Climate Accord, especially China, except us. We're going to be like the good kids, which will destroy the oil, natural, and gas industry in this country, something that Joe Biden promised to do. Remember when he did this? Play tape of Joe Biden saying, I'll phase it out. I'll phase out oil and natural gas. Play tape. Next executive action plays right into this, killing more than 70,000 jobs, people estimate, of all the ripple effect, canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, and directing agencies to review and reverse more than 100 Trump actions on the environment. So Joe Biden has now decided that the blue-collar workers that have been working on the Keystone XL pipeline, he wants to disenfranchise them on day one. They didn't vote for me, so I don't care for them. You see, Donald Trump never did that. Donald Trump never punished people who opposed him politically. In fact, he went out of his way to deliver results to people that didn't vote for him politically because he was not the president of the Republican Party. He was the president of the country. The Keystone XL pipeline is a phenomenal achievement that allows us to be energy independent, and this gives a gift to Russia and China in more ways than one. This executive order also rescinds a Trump order banning Chinese communist involvement in the United States power grid. So now we can allow the employers of Hunter Biden, the Chinese Communist Party, to run our power grid. Next executive action signed by President Joe Biden. He rescinded the Trump administration 1776 commission, something I know very well. President Trump nominated me to be part of that, and directs agencies to review their actions to ensure racial equity. So for Joe Biden, he wants to have a country that focuses more on 1619 than 1776. There's no way he could have read the 1776 Commission report. Instead, he has done everything he possibly can to try to rewrite American history. Now, one of the biggest lies that is told frequently is that our founding fathers were racists. Now, yes, some of them owned slaves. Some of them were very flawed human beings. But did you know that Thomas Jefferson, in the original draft of the United States Constitution, had written a clause condemning King George for bringing slavery to America? Did you know in the original draft of the United States Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote against King George bringing slavery to our country, condemning him for this, that Thomas Jefferson spoke out in such clear and convincing terms against the sin and crime of slavery? This idea that the founding fathers were all on board for slavery is just not true. This is a little nugget of information, by the way. Those of you that are in school, those of you that might have liberal friends, you can say, hey, what do you think of Thomas Jefferson? Oh, he's terrible. He's awful. He owned slaves, which is true. Freed the slaves before he died. However, Thomas Jefferson, being the flawed individual himself, argued against King George's involvement in the slave trade. He said, quote, King George waged a cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere or to incur miserable death in their transportation. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain. Wow, what language by Thomas Jefferson. Determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold, he has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this execrable commerce, and that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye. He is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people on whom he has obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of one another. Now, that never made it into the final draft of the Declaration of Independence. This was in the original, the rough draft, written in Thomas Jefferson's own handwriting in capital letters. It didn't make it because John Hancock, in the original deliberation of the Declaration, said, if we can't agree on everything, we're not doing this because they're going to try to use something to divide us and cause a civil war amongst the colonies. Do I think that was a good thing? No, but that's why it happened. It's called history. But this idea that every founding father was completely on board for slavery is just not true. I could not write a more aggressive paragraph using language they used back then against the King of England than what Thomas Jefferson wrote in the rough draft of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson also, right when he became the third American president, signed a moratorium of no new slaves into the United States, a provision that allowed him to do that in the United States Constitution. So know your history. Joe Biden doesn't want you to know the history. That's why he got rid of the 1776 Commission. He thinks that's an evil year. Joe Biden and his band of radicals want you to focus on Nicole Hannah Jones's nonsensical 1619 project. That somehow we were founded in 1619. We've always had slavery. All these institutions are instruments of white supremacy. And there's not even a conversation beyond that. Joe Biden abolishing the 1776 Commission is just a symbol of how he's going to govern. Our past is wrong. Our history is flawed and not even worthy of appreciating, and anything Donald Trump did to preserve it, I will get rid of. Now, this next executive action is described by CNN by saying, quote, preventing workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Okay, not a big deal, right? Wrong. This executive order is one I really want to focus on. This executive order allows boys to play in girls' sports. Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire has a phenomenal piece on this. And he says, quote, Joe Biden, who for his first 65 or 70 years of his life showed no interest in trans issues and never hinted at a belief that biological males can be women if they feel like they are, has now become, after just one day in office, most radically pro-trans president in history. At the ripe old age of 78, Biden is governing much like a 19-year-old college student who just took her first gender studies class might. Goes on to say that because of this executive order that the media is conveniently ignoring, no child should ever be denied access to the restroom, locker room, or school sports by federal executive order. Basically, if you have a daughter and she's in soccer, if you have a daughter who's in girls' basketball, her classmate who's a man can wake up one day full of testosterone and say, I want to compete against you. Oh, and I want access to your locker room. Basically, allowing widespread gender chaos and potential perversion to occur. And I don't use that word lightly. Now, there's a way to deal with a transgender issue that is not this, and it's with compassion, reconciliation, and counseling. It is not opening up our locker rooms and private areas for young women, and with that, young men, for people that are gender confused, that are still biologically and chromosomally formed as XX or XY into places of sports, locker rooms, or dressing rooms. And that brings me to our thinker.org book of the week, thinkr.org. A lot of people are asking, hey, Charlie, where do you get your information from? How do I get big ideas distilled? Well, go to thinker.org/Charlie and check out this. That's Abergrail Shire's book, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. It's thinker.org. You guys can check it out. It talks about men are men and women are women. We have differences, despite what document Joe Biden wants to sign to try to make you feel or think differently. And this executive order, as Matt Walsh puts in writing, says, quote, Joe Biden's political brand has always been that of normal and decent. But these are neither normal nor decent actions. These are actions of either a deranged, amoral pervert, or else a hapless, gutless coward enacting someone else's agenda because he lacks the spine or mental capacity to do the right thing. In this case, I suspect the answer is a little bit of both. Well done, Matt Walsh. He's a podcaster also for the Daily Wire, very smart guy. And so this executive order, and this is how CNN says it, quote, prevents workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Wrong. It allows boys to go into girls' locker rooms. It allows boys to compete against girls in soccer. That's Joe Biden's America. How does that heal the country exactly? Did Joe Biden go throughout Pennsylvania campaigning? Well, he didn't really do that much anyway. But when he did, and he say, hey, you guys, co-workers, your daughters, you know what they're missing? Men in their locker rooms. Corn pop. Could you imagine? Joe Biden, by signing this executive action, executive order, shows clearly that things he said on the campaign trail, this idea of unifying and unity, was all a bunch of gibberish, balderdash, nonsense, and garbage. It's a great way to divide the country. Literally, based on those of us that believe that men should not be allowed in women's locker rooms and vice versa, and that this transgender issue is being completely hijacked by political forces that are trying to destroy the idea of gender at all in our society. The next executive order, executive action, requires non-citizens to be included in the census and appointment of congressional representatives. So let me rephrase this. Requires illegal foreign national border jumpers to be included in the census and allow them to have congressional representation. So here's a question I always have for people. You look at a city like Las Vegas. Las Vegas has hundreds of thousands of tourists all around the world that come to Las Vegas, especially in February when it's Chinese New Year and a lot of people go to Vegas from China. Should those people be counted in the census? They're in America at that time. They're actually more legal than the illegal foreign nationals. And you might say, well, they're not living here. Well, they're using our goods and services. Shouldn't they get congressional representation? They're in Las Vegas. The same can be said, though, for the people that illegally entered our country. They do not deserve congressional representation. They shouldn't be here in the first place. They broke our laws. They broke and entered into the United States. They cut in line. And what this does is this cheapens the rule of law and delegitimizes the process of how we actually get representation in our country. Never did the founding fathers envision a scenario where people could illegally domicile themselves into their country and somehow get congressional representation. Next executive order. Fortifies DACA after Trump's efforts to undo protections for the illegals brought into the country as children. Basically upholding DACA. This is going to be the biggest fight, everybody, immigration. So get ready, buckle up. Amnesty is coming. We're going to have to fight it. We're going to push, metaphorically fight it, push back against it on this program. Amnesty is going to be their very, very big push. Next executive action. Yes, I'm not done yet. They've been very busy trying to radically redefine our country. reversing the Trump administration's restrictions on the U.S. entry for passport holders from 7 Muslim-majority countries. Reversing Trump's restrictions in the midst of a pandemic on the 7 Muslim-majority countries that was upheld actually as constitutional. Next executive order. Undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States. If you're here illegally, you're going to be okay. But you know what Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement actually was about that they're going to lie to you about? Going after the murderers, the felons, the rapists, the child sex traffickers, the narcotic traffickers, and the drug smugglers that were here illegally. That's who ICE was going after. This idea that ICE was going into the local Catholic Church of Our Lady of Guadalupe in El Paso, Texas, and arresting and deporting 87-year-old grandmas is nonsense. ICE was focusing their efforts on drug smugglers that were in Chandler and Gilbert and Phoenix, Arizona, that were smuggling narcotics and breaking the law. That's who they were focusing on. But in Joe Biden's America, ICE is going to become nothing more than a glorified TSA. ICE is going to be nothing more than just like, oh, welcome to America. Next executive action, halting the construction of the border wall by terminating the national emergency declaration used to fund it. Joe Biden basically saying, our borders are going to remain open. You can flood into our country. We are not going to do anything in any way, shape, or form whatsoever to stop you coming into America. And by the way, that means we're not going to try and stop child sex trafficking. We're not going to try and stop guns coming into the country. We want our borders open. That's Joe Biden's America. Next executive action, extending deferrals for deportation work authorizations for Liberians of the safe haven in the United States until June 30th, 2022. I don't know why Liberia was singled out. America and Liberia actually have a shared history. The capital of Liberia is Monrovia, named after James Monroe. There was an African nationalist movement that popped up, I want to say about 150 years ago. Monroe is the fifth president. It happened around there where blacks wanted to go back to Africa. And Liberia, actually, the term liberty, like liberation, was supposed to be a free country in Africa. Maybe Liberia is going through something right now. I don't know. I'll look into it. Maybe it's a drought or a famine. Maybe it's some conflict. I think maybe it's something like that. Our team just actually sent this to me right now. Liberian immigrants has community in Philly, Hopeful. And so there's 400 Liberians living in Pennsylvania. They want green cards. Joe Biden has announced he would fix it his first day in office. It's the Liberian Refugee Immigration Fairness Program. I guess it was a really big focus for those people living in Philadelphia electorally. That's my guess. And so I have nothing against Liberian people at all. I'm just kind of confused why this is getting singled out. Okay, next one, almost there. Requiring executive branch appointees to sign an ethics pledge, barring them from acting in personal interest and requiring them to uphold the independence of the Department of Justice. This is the one thing on this list, one out of 30, I will applaud Joe Biden on. If this actually gets upheld, doubtful. If this actually gets enforced, skeptical. This is a good thing. Cleaning up ethics and corruption in government, regardless of who does that or what party, deserves to be commended. President Trump did similar executive orders as this, but this is a good thing. And the fact Joe Biden has signed an ethics pledge for other people is very good. And by the way, this also applies to his son. This now basically shows that he will have no meetings, no conversations, no interference, and no inside information of the Department of Justice inquiry and subpoena and investigation into Hunter Biden. I applaud him for that. Pretty bold, but I applaud him for that. And the first executive order that Joe Biden signed and directed the Office for Management Budget Director to develop recommendations to modernize regulatory review and undo Trump's regulatory approval process. Basically, what America needs right now is more regulation. That's basically what this is. All this deregulation, freeing up the economy, opening things up, cut that out. Basically, this executive order, the first one he signed in the president's room in the United States Senate, that one is all about adding red tape and regulation to our country. So what is the essence of all of this, all 30 of these executive orders? Backtracking on promises, radicalizing the country on transgender issues, globalizing America, destroying American sovereignty, and yes, one good thing, the ethics issue. That's about it. But Joe Biden is working pretty unilaterally Not even trying to worry about Congress. Because you know what Congress is too focused on? Impeaching the former president of the United States. And if Joe Biden wants to unite the country, and I don't think he listens to this program, but a lot of you guys have social media followings, and you guys can get a little bit of a drumbeat and chatter on this. If he wants to unite this country, if he really wants to bring people together, you know how you do that? You say this impeachment is not going forward. Instead, pass my Chinese coronavirus relief bill. Joe Biden is choosing to allow the Senate to go through with what could be an unconstitutional impeachment. And that's our next question here at freedom@charliekirk.com. I know that first question was quite long as we go through all 30 executive actions. But again, a lot of you have emailed us. You said, Charlie, I'm not going to watch the news anymore. I'm just going to go through you. Well, I just went through your news update for the week, I think, more comprehensively than anyone else. And we're going to remain positive, despite Joe Biden with a samurai sword going through our country trying to tear everything down. Okay. The question, the essence of the question here is, hey, Charlie, do you think that impeachment is going to proceed? What's the plan? It's a long question, and this is from Brett from Texas. So my friend Kelly Shackelford, who I've done a couple episodes with, super smart, he texted me this last evening, and I want to read this to you. And I think it's really interesting, which is, quote, I believe it's unconstitutional to impeach a former president. The Constitution requires Chief Justice Roberts when the president is tried slash impeached. Kelly Shackelford predicts the Chief Justice will not show up because he won't be part of the unconstitutional action. We will see. So basically, Chief Justice Roberts should not show up to this trial. He should say, I will not oversee this impeachment trial. It's not a current officer. It's unconstitutional. And that will tell us a lot. If John Roberts shows up, that will tell us a lot about the constitutionality of this impeachment. Here's a question from Jenna. Hey, Charlie, where do you get your information from? I'm a senior in high school and I want to be informed, but I don't know where to go to be truly informed these days. It's super difficult to look up stuff on Google and find a reliable website that isn't biased. Well, first of all, thank you for listening to our program, and we try to be that source of information. You guys can also, I don't know if you know about this, charliekirk.com. We're posting articles there all the time. I encourage you guys to check it out at charliekirk.com. And look, the reason we're able to do all that kind of information processing and research, we have a whole team of researchers that is they're constantly diving into documents, making phone calls, talking to sources. We've kind of become this own pseudo, you know, news opinion operation. Obviously, we have opinions. We're not going to act as if we're the Washington Post and we have no opinions. We're very much conservatives here. We get that. But we also are fact-first people, and we try to be very fair. And you guys, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you make all that possible. But I recommend justthenews.com, Real Clear Politics. The Wall Street Journal generally does a pretty good job, I have to say. They've become a little more snarkily liberal lately, but they generally do a pretty good job. Stay away from New York Times. Stay away from Washington Post. Stay away from some of these message boards, these fringe stuff. It's not helpful. Message boards for conservatives, that's our version of the New York Times. Don't do that. It's all nonsense, narrative-driven drivel. Okay, next question. Joe Biden is making waves for replacing a bust of Winston Churchill with a bust of Eleanor Roosevelt and Cesar Chavez. He also replaced a portrait of Andrew Jackson with FDR. The Washington Post did an entire piece on this. My question, say hypothetically you're elected president, what portraits are you hanging? What busts are you displaying in the Oval Office? I didn't even read this question beforehand. Okay, well, I would have definitely the bust of Winston Churchill back there. Winston Churchill saved Western civilization. Winston Churchill is one of the least understood, least appreciated figures of the 20th century. I would have George Washington, who's the father of our country, and I believe a true, humble servant. And then I'd have Ronald Reagan. That's who I would have. And so that would be my trifecta. And I definitely would not have Cesar Chavez. Let's put it that way. I would also maybe have Dwight D. Eisenhower, General MacArthur. And if I kind of had to pick our equivalent of a labor leader or philosopher or writer, boy, I would have to probably pick, going all the way back to the founding of our country, I would probably pick, let me think about this, probably Thomas Jefferson. I'm a big Thomas Jefferson fan. Oh, Teddy Roosevelt. I would definitely have Teddy Roosevelt around. I'm a big Teddy Roosevelt fan for different reasons than people might think. I've done a podcast on that before. I will do one again, but I don't want to repeat it for those of you that have been listening for quite some time. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And as you guys know, we are doing more and more questions throughout the week in our kind of overflow of the live stream. So if you're listening to this podcast, by the way, this is the only place you guys can listen to this. So if you're listening to my words right now on a treadmill, in a car, wherever you are, this is not on YouTube. So that's why it's so important to be subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. These Ask Me Anythings are exclusives to just the podcast feed. So I want to thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We will answer them throughout the week. We are doing more audience interaction than any other podcast out there. And do me a favor, get one other friend to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Send them the link and make sure that subscribe button is pushed. Help us be uncensorable. You guys make that possible. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.